Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. Now, I have to kick things off with a big apology because it's been far too long since I recorded one of these episodes. I'm afraid with all the planning that is going on for Drive the World next year, I simply haven't found time to sit down and record a podcast. However, do not worry, the podcast is not over, it is not gone. It will feature throughout next year's big adventure. I'm currently working hard behind the scenes to find ways to sort of improve how I present and record these podcasts to ensure that we can keep them regular and routine next year. There are a few more episodes to come this year before I leave, and today is one of those episodes. You may have seen that last week I headed to Lisbon, Portugal with BMW for the Web Summit, and whilst I was there, BMW introduced me to Tom from The Tech Chap. He is a very interesting guy who runs a YouTube channel at a very similar size to me, just under 400,000 subscribers, but focused in and around tech. So we decided to sit down and have a chat about how automotive and tech seem to be continuously pushing themselves together. It was a really interesting chat that was filmed in the BMW stand at the Web Summit. So you're going to have to forgive me because there's a lot of background noise, especially at the beginning. It does quieten down a bit, but hopefully you can still hear what Tom and I are saying. I also have to apologise to Tom because I kick-started the entire podcast by calling his channel the wrong name. I introduced him as The Tech Guy instead of The Tech Chap, which was, it just shows how distracted I am at the moment with everything going on, but it's no excuse. I was incredibly unprofessional and very rude. So Tom, if you're watching, apologies again. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tom from The Tech Chap. Anyway, enough of my intro. Let's crack on with today's podcast.
The Tech Chat.
That was awful.
So I'm Tom from The Tech Chat.
This is Tom from The Tech Chat.
Great to be here, Sam.
Welcome to Behind the
You've
Glass.
You've done your research.
I will now spend the rest of the podcast telling you how amazing you are.
No, I love it. It's great to be here. Content. Thank you for having me on, dude. This is amazing.
I really appreciate you coming and joining me because we are currently on the BMW stand here at the Web Summit in Lisbon, and it's my first time ever at a tech conference, so I feel like I need to guide me through this chaos.
This is my first time at Web Summit, but I've done CES, MWC, IFA, Computex, so I've done a few.
Incredible.
But this is good. This is like a nice, easy way in. It's not too hectic, but it's still pretty cool.
It's the most overwhelming thing I've ever been to in my life. What are you talking about?
I'll have to take you to Vegas for CEX.
Okay. Well, this conference for automotive people makes Geneva Motor Show look like a stroll in the park. But look, before we get into the sort of wide-ranging topics we want to cover off today, let's introduce you to my audience and all of my listeners and viewers. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you started your channel, what it features, etc.
Sure. Well, as Sam rightly said, as the tech chap.
That's exactly. Don't ever say it's the tech guy, because that would be wrong. It's
yeah,
the tech
I'm very
chap.
Offensive. So I've been doing it for about 4 years, full-time for 1 year. I used to work as a video producer at Trusted Reviews in the UK, so I was kind of elevated my level of video production and things like that. But now, since last November, I've been doing it full time. I'm just about to hit 400,000 subs, so you and I are a couple of thousand between,
which is amazing and great.
Whoever gets to 400,000 first
buys the other one an i8.
Buys another one a BMW i8.
No, because then you don't want to get to 400k first. Whoever gets their second
buys an i8. It's agreed. It has to happen because we make that kind of money.
Yeah, that's YouTube. Hello.
No, so I do tech. I do. I mean, a lot of the tech YouTubers just do one thing: phones, laptops. I kind of do a bit of everything. It's okay. Whatever I find interesting. because that's my life. So, like, I may as well.
But how did it become your life? Because tech, don't forgive me, is a little nerdy. Like, were you always? I'm the biggest nerd in this room. So, were you always into sort of computers and phones and everything growing up? And
yeah,
it's just a,
like,
natural interest.
I remember building PCs with my dad when I was like 10, and the first time we got like a LAN network with the original Deus Ex to work, like the first multiplayer experience we had on PC. It's just that sort of stuff, like, is in the blood. But I mean, I didn't know I was going to do this. I did a law degree, and then that didn't work out. So that's a lot of money for no
reason.
But then, yeah, after I finished uni, I was a bit not sure what to do, and then I just watched a lot of YouTube. I liked to try and get the latest phones. So I think my first video was the LG G3 phone, which is a terrible video. Do not watch it, even though it's still live. But you like to see the difference of how you find
it. It is. It's interesting to see. Yeah, absolutely. Those first initial videos, when you're just kind of trying it out, aren't you? You're dipping your toe in the water. Awful. I mean, then, my whole first one was filmed point of view because I was too embarrassed to be on camera.
I mean, that's a cool style anyway. But each one, I just try and make it less bad. And I think
that's the best thing to aim for.
If you're not embarrassed by your videos from 6 months ago, then you've not really progressed enough. That's the way I like to look at it.
Well said.
But I love it. It's the best job in the world, as I'm sure yours is with cars. And I'm glad we're talking, because, like, I do tech, you do cars, but there's such a crossover with in-car tech and autonomous vehicles, electric cars.
That's exactly it. And that's a big part of what we want to talk about today, is this sort of ever emerging worlds of cars and tech. And because this is predominantly a car focused podcast, let's go into a little bit of your car history. Firstly, personal car history and experiences, but then also stuff you've been doing on the tech chap that is automotive related. So yeah, personal history first. What was your first car?
I still drive my first car.
Bravo.
It's a Ford Fiesta.
Yes. Engine?
It's 1 litre turbo.
Okay, brilliant. So, like, you've got the word turbo in there, so you're happy.
It's EcoBoost, so you're happy. It's in... The colour is... I like to call it midnight champagne gold.
Oh, that sounds awful.
But it's brown.
It's brown. Midnight champagne gold.
Technically, Ford called it Fashionista brown, and they discontinued it due to unpopularity.
And you ended up with it. Brilliant.
I got a good deal on it.
Make it your own.
Make it my own. I don't have to see it. I'm in it. It's everyone else who suffers.
There you go. I really do not want to film that car, but I'm glad you enjoy it.
So that's my personal car.
Okay.
I've had some experience. Like, I've done work events with Jaguar and BMW and Audi. So, like, I've played with some nicer cars, and I've just come back from a road trip and this road test in the Roadster i8.
What did you think? That's your first time in the i8, right?
Yeah, $150,000 car. I had a quick drive of it as well, and I was petrified.
Do you not think it's like no other BMW when you get inside?
Yeah, it feels like a hyper, super futuristic car.
Yes.
It's not a traditional car. It's futuristic, and I love that.
It's why the i models are my favourite BMWs, because when you step inside them, they feel not only futuristic for the whole automotive space, but especially for BMW.
They really do, and I love that. And I think for you as well, with tech, I just, that futuristic stuff just gets me...
I can see you salivating already.
So yeah, it was beautiful. I want one.
Okay, well, so let's do dream car quickly then. Have you got an all-time, and where does the i8 Roadster now fit in?
I mean, it's pretty high up. I mean, of all time, I always wanted a Pagani Zonda.
Oh, yes. You're going to go down very well on this podcast.
I think
very
from Gran Turismo 4 originally or something.
Okay.
But like when I first played it on the PlayStation, but like the quad exhaust, just a stupid, crazy, insane styling. Like, of course, I've always wanted a normal 3 Series or an Audi A4 or something like that. But, like, supercars, when I was growing up, I had a Countach, Lamborghini Countach on my wall.
Okay.
My brother wanted the Diablo, but I was always a Countach.
I don't know, but I'm a Diablo man, so.
Diablo's a beautiful car.
Yeah, it's just Mino, I think. I like modern, shiny things, basically.
So do I. But, I mean, over the years, it's changed, but I love the new DB10s, Aston Martin.
DB11, very nice Grand Tour. No, DB10 was the James Bond car,
that's right, you can
appreciate that. Yeah, it's a beautiful car.
I mean, honestly, anything is better than my Fiesta.
Hey, don't knock the midnight champagne fizz. What was it?
Fashionista, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shit,
well, you mentioned briefly that you have been doing some work now with some more, I guess, high-end cars or prestige cars and stuff. And I see that because there is this interesting crossover between tech and automotive. And so many launches I go on nowadays, firstly, have more tech journalists attending, but also tech plays a big role in those launches. Car makers are talking about how much tech are in these various cars. Now, as a petrol head, I never really like that term, as a petrol head, or a driving...
Don't say it like that.
A driving enthusiast. I'm never that fussed about technology.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by, you know, mechanical technology, whether the car's going faster.
Yeah.
I'm not that fussed about sat navs.
I get that.
Things.
Nor am I.
Okay, well, but as a tech freak, I'm going to call you... I'm doing well here, aren't I? We're going to be best friends
so
by the
nice.
End of this. As a tech obsessive. Is it, no? Okay. As a tech fan.
Sure. Stop to stop.
As someone who knows about tech.
Enthusiast.
Are you impressed by this sort of new push for cars to have more tech in them? Or is it a bit of a gimmick? Like, is it actual technology?
Mm.
Like, what is being implemented which makes you go, now that is cool? Like, touch screens.
Sure.
You know, stuff like that. Talk to me.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because I think in some cases, until recently, it's all been terrible.
Okay. I'm so glad you agree.
Every manufacturer has their own system. Yes, finally we're getting a bit of sort of Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, like, but that's still...
Well, they only just added Google Maps about 2 weeks ago, didn't they?
But that is still better than most in-car sat-navs. So historically, they're bad. So I'm, first of all, great to see they're actually either putting some real effort into it, like BMW is, or they're putting some good systems in. But it can go too far. Like the Audi A8, where you have this double touchscreen system, and it becomes such a distraction from drivers. And like, I love a touchscreen. I love touchy stuff. Like, as you say, I'm a tech freak, whatever you call it.
Yes.
But you can go
so
too
glad
far.
You're running
and if
with
it takes, if it's unsafe, like you're literally getting distracted from the road, physical dials, physical buttons, there's room for both. So from an infotainment perspective, yes, I'd love to see good stuff. I don't want it to go too far, pure touch. Like even like when the Model 3, the Tesla Model 3, I think they've got...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Updated it now, but originally to change the temperature, you had to like move your finger up and down across the screen to opt for the temperature across for where it's coming out.
Then you had to do a spell and Expelliarmus.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because that's how it works.
Expecto Patronum.
No petroleum.
So that's
just too much. But
yes.
They're optimizing it, they're figuring it out. But that's infotainment. But at the same time, we're seeing lots of autonomous driving now. We're seeing AI in cars. We're seeing graphics cards companies like NVIDIA putting GPUs in cars. We're getting AI, deep learning. There's such a crossover behind the scenes of tech and cars, which is so exciting.
I think that's exactly it. On a consumer-facing level, from the skin upwards. No, that's not making a lot of sense. But
it's creepy.
What we see as drivers.
Yeah.
I agree. It's getting a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of all these touchscreens.
Yeah,
I do find it very dangerous.
Yes.
Distracting. I'm often fiddling around trying to find how to put my heated seat on.
And
not looking down the road, which is always a negative, I'd have to say. And also, as again, a driving enthusiast, there's that plug. I just want to concentrate on driving. I don't want
the experience.
Yeah, the experience, yeah. You know, and I don't care about, you know, doing the sort of bass increase on my sound system and, you know. Okay, so we're here on this BMW stand and they've just launched the BMW, the personal assistant, the new intelligent personal assistant, which is essentially like a Siri or an Alexa for the car.
It's
now,
really cool.
Okay, so this is something that I think is incredibly useful.
I agree.
And something that has been missing from cars for a long time.
Yeah.
Because if you look at all this stuff that they're trying to implement into the infotainment system, instead of distracting us with touch screens, why not just let us talk to the car?
Absolutely.
That surely is the future.
Voice recognition is getting a lot better. I mean, it is. You still have to say, I don't know, hey BMW or something, and there's still a pause. Oh, I didn't quite catch that. It's in its infancy, but I completely agree. A hands-off experience, smart speaker tech. Yeah, it's going to get better.
I think it has to. And for me, as you say, it's in its infancy. Am I right in saying across the... I don't even think Siri and Alexa are that great. Am I wrong there? Sorry, is that controversial?
I mean, it's not controversial. I mean, they're amazing given where we were a few years ago, but you're right, they're still not there.
There's still holes. And the problem is when you're driving a car along the road at 70 miles an hour, you get a ton of road noise and it's even harder for the computer to pick up what you're saying.
And if you say, call mum, and it calls...
Someone else.
It
can be awkward.
Yeah, it can be very awkward. You have to go along with it.
So I would like to see a push towards, you know, voice-activated commands and controls rather than this sort of dependency on infotainment, touch screens, etc. But let's come on to the other point that you made a few moments ago, which is the sort of beneath-the-skin stuff. Why have I had a complete mind blank there? I got distracted by someone's trainers, sorry. The artificial intelligence.
Yes.
Are you a fan of autonomous cars and autonomous driving as someone who's maybe not as much of a driving enthusiast?
So I've been lucky enough to drive the Model 3 and the Model S.
Okay.
And I've done autonomous driving with it. The boom, boom, and then like it goes into... I mean, you...
Just release everything?
But you can't release everything because you have to have your hands on the wheel or it tells you off. So you may as well drive. But it is cool. I love it, but it's not why. Unless you're getting fully autonomous, which you can. So I'm almost, like, especially if you're doing long motorway driving, great. But as you said earlier, you know, do you want tech to take away from that driving experience? Like when you've got 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds on a Model S or something, and just the experience of an electric car or any car, why would you want to just sit in a passenger seat?
I think there are times in our lives when we're in cars that autonomy would be fantastic.
Sure.
So
stop traffic. Right.
Absolutely, yeah. And long motorway journeys, for sure. I query at the moment safety. I don't believe these systems, and the fact that 99% of the other cars on the road aren't going to be autonomous, I think is just a little bit of a scary thought.
Yeah.
And also, yes, you still want to be able to take control and enjoy driving and have that freedom of getting in a car and going wherever you like. I think
Have that though, to be fair. It's an option.
You do, but I think there's often pictures or visions of a future 20, 30 years in advance where you don't even see steering wheels in cars.
Right.
You know, and is this the direction that we're going to end up going? And is tech going to become such a feature in automotive that really the actual mechanical driving experience is going to be taken away from us?
I think there'll be option. Like I worked with Volvo recently who have this concept car of, it's not so much replacing your normal car, but like you would get in it and replace short haul flights. It'd be a long distance commuter and you pull up a thing. And I'm sure maybe BMW have their own similar ideas. So it's not going to replace your day-to-day car, but like you'll get into a pod, an autonomous vehicle pod with no steering wheel. But then you can work, you can sleep.
And you can look at the view, which I hate flying because you can't see what's below you.
Right. Wait, do you want a glass?
No, I definitely don't, because I actually don't enjoy planes that much these days, but
no.
I like being on the ground because you get to really take in views. So don't get me wrong, if you were literally doing point A to point B in the fastest time possible and it's just on a motorway, why not have autonomy? But I don't like the idea of a world where steering wheels are taken away from us and the options are taken away from us. And I do feel like a lot of the safety features, you know, technology, safety features are starting to impede on the driving experience. And yes, you can turn them off, but so many cars I get into now with lane assist and heads-up display.
Everything's binging and bonging.
Everything's binging. You know, I've been in cars where brakes get applied for me. And like, you know, not, and I don't want that.
Maybe you should drive a bit more safely.
Yeah, because I'm going like a lunatic. But yeah, that's my concern. Is it's a world where, you know, we're starting. I'm big for, you know, entertainment benefits. I'm big for certain driving improvements, but I don't want to lose actually being able to get in a car and drive for enjoyment.
But I don't think you will lose that. It's just an option. And but you do see every single manufacturer saying by 2020, 2021, we're going to invest so heavily in autonomy, in electric vehicles, and that's a different kettle of fish. You can have a non-autonomous electric car.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's still like a halfway house here. But like, everyone's jumping on it. BMW as well, of course. So
I don't know whether to dip a toe into the electric conversation or not. At the minute, I have a little electric Twizy in London, which is hilarious. It's a go-kart. I mean, it's tiny. And obviously here, we're surrounded by i3s and i8s.
I mean, soon you're going to buy me an i8.
I freaking hope not. Come on, guys. But I'm sort of really coming around towards the idea of electric vehicles in cities. I think it makes sense.
Short commutes, small distances.
Absolutely. You know, let's try and save this world that we're living on. But also, what's the need to drive around in a huge hunking VA or V6 or whatever in a city? There's just no real need or point. So why not go electric? That I'm a fan of, but I also miss the rumble of an engine, and I miss, you know, power.
You miss the growl of it, but also, do you enjoy the torque of an electric car?
Yeah, the torque of an electric car is pretty damn brilliant. The amount of times I've been beaten off the lights in London by an i3. Killer, right? So, again, let's just come back to, you know, the way that you are sort of being pulled into the automotive world. In my mind, I feel like a lot of car companies are reinventing themselves at the moment, going from that traditional sense of being a manufacturer and trying to become a brand.
Yes.
We're here now in a beautiful coffee house, which is the BMW stand here at the Web Summit. I mean, we could be in Amsterdam or Shoreditch or somewhere super trendy.
Yeah.
And it is a part of that sort of, you know, that experience. You know, you want to be buying into a brand or a badge.
I agree.
More than just the cars. And so, is it important how the car drives or feels, do you think?
Honestly, I don't know if that is true. I think people have a quick test drive and be like, yeah, it's great, of course it is. But how much experience have they really got in trying other cars? Of course it's going to be great if you're spending a whole bunch of money on a good car. But I completely agree with you. And I think it's like Apple is considered more of a lifestyle brand than a tech brand. And I think it could be considered as car companies want to go that way. BMW maybe want to be seen as also like a lifestyle brand. You want to be part of that family, that community. Of course, they have the fantastic cars, but there's more to the badge than just the CCs and the infotainment screen size.
It's about being part of that sort of family. And in the world of social media that we unfortunately operate in, it's all about image and the way that you portray yourself. Mm. And people are desperate to portray themselves in a certain way. And so if you can align yourself with a brand, you know, let's say you're really into your technology and electric vehicles, BMW are trying to position themselves as the company, the car to have, because it fits that lifestyle image.
It does.
And I think that's interesting. You know, it goes away from, you know, losers like me who are like, wow, did the understeer at 35 miles an hour? That's all I care about.
That sounds just like you.
It does, when I'm not on camera, that's my true voice. And so, yeah, it's an interesting shift. But I would love to know your guys' thoughts. Please comment below and obviously tweet at Seen Through Glass, hashtag Behind the Glass, and let me know, what do you think? Do you think that sort of technology is becoming too much in vehicles these days? And are you a fan of the push towards everything going a little bit electric?
But more importantly, is it wrong to drive a Grand Fiesta?
Yeah, and can you get me to 400,000 subs before Tom? I think we can.
No, me first.
It's a very expensive day for him. anyway, I feel like our coffees are probably waiting over at the very trendy bar over there about now.
Far too fancy for us.
Far too fancy for us. So we're going to draw this podcast to a close. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Tom, thank you so much
thank
for coming
so
and joining
much.
Us.
I really appreciate you having me on.
I really appreciate you coming in and joining me. Of course, if you want to check out all the stuff that Tom is doing.
The Tech Chap. Instagram, Twitter, like and subscribe on YouTube. Like, it'd be great to have, you know, collaborate more and get you guys to check my stuff out. And like, well, I love Sam's work and
future car launches. I feel like I need you to come along and sit in the seat next to me and go, no, don't listen to all that spiel they just told you. This isn't good. That is blah, blah, blah. So yeah, maybe Tom come pull apart some infotainment systems. But yeah, give it a thumbs up if you've enjoyed it, and make sure to subscribe for plenty more videos to come.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.